We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Even when he's not working today, he's part of the show. Poppin'. As your papa is not here. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. Schedule off day for Mike Golic, just so we're clear, understanding. Got to point that out there in this day and age. Disclaimer, whatever you want it. Schedule to be off. That's why he's off.
In these uncertain times, which is still going to be the name of my fantasy football team when it pops up.
I was about to say, either uncertain times or unprecedented times. Yeah. Right? Those are the two catch races for obvious reasons we understand, but you just hear them so often.
I was going to say, you know what? They started off understandable. Now they've become memes because it's just been said too much and in too many situations. So I get it. We had to do it, but still going to be my fantasy football team name. And in these uncertain times, Dad's doing fine, just a scheduled day off.
So lots to get to. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk to Mark Packer of Packer and Durham about the complexities of college football going forward. We heard last hour, or we talked about it last hour, that the University of Michigan president basically said, hey, I don't care. If students are on campus, we ain't playing football. And, you know, the big house is the big house for a reason. And while a lot of other schools are thinking about ways to go forward with college football, that was sort of a shocking, slap across the face. Well, Michigan is not going to do this thing where it's been such a big part of everything we think about that school. So it just shows you how all over the map everything is.
In an analogy that we have, again, beaten into the ground in the world of college football, the Michigan president came out and said the tail ain't going to wag the dog on this one.
Correct. Diana Rossini will join us in just about a half an hour. Jeff Passan, our Major League Baseball insider, maybe he'll finally tell us in about an hour if the suckage is over, right? Because he was the one that put it out there.
He says, is our suckometer.
He is team captain suck. There's no question about it. He put it out there, the negotiations, it's going to be awful, but they're going to find a way to get a deal. I mean, are we any closer with baseball? I feel like everybody else in Major League sports is steamrolling forward except for Major League Baseball. And it's the one that makes the most sense, you know?
It sucks and it cuts. Well, it certainly does suck. All will get more coming, and hopefully Jeff Passan will get my Wayne's World reference when he comes on and joins us in just a little bit.
Game on.
There we go.
So we'll see what happens there. But we did see what happened over the weekend, and you and I weren't here on Monday. The match between Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady and Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning was, by any definition or standard, an unbelievable hit. Now, I certainly think it helped that the weather was just brutal. I mean, they played the first nine in a driving rainstorm with wind, and it led to just all sorts of train wreck tee shots for Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and the pros doing the pros thing. But it was off the charts.
The match, too, was the most watched golf telecast in cable history. Say that to yourself again.
Boom.
That is Stats Incredible, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. It was electric. Trey, you're the biggest golf fan of the show, bar none. I am probably the least golf fan of the show. I watched every minute of this. Now, part of it, I get it, is these uncertain times, but also, it was the interest of that. It was the weather. It was the personalities involved. It was what we got early, which was even when they were on the practice course,
right,
hitting shots. Peyton made coming out firing on Tom Brady. It all lent itself to one of the most personable rounds of golf I've ever seen.
Well, not only that, but like, Tom Brady is the ultimate Captain Cool, right? He is the ultimate guy who is, it's all going to be fine. He's the living meme of the guy, the dog sitting with all the fire around it. It's all going to be fine. And eventually it is, right?
He's R-E-L-A-X. He's, yes, Captain Cool. He's the ultimate winner. He's got the great wife, the great, yeah, life. Everything's perfect for Tom. Until.
And then he looked so, for lack of a better term, shook. And I think right away, to the point you're talking about, Junior, when on the practice range, Brady went in there and said, who do I bring as a caddy? You know, do I bring Eli? Do I bring Nick Foles? And Tom turned around and goes, cheap shots. Like, Tom, He's not a cheap shot. He's just throwing a little fire.
And you could tell he seemed genuinely bothered when he brought up Nick Foles.
He was. He was bothered by that. It was really, really funny to see.
He was already getting tormented because Eli joined Twitter that day. Like, all of his nemeses were converging on him at once in an environment where he was not comfortable. And I think that was what we were looking forward to the most in this, right? I said, it's appalling to think about for too long. How great each of the four of those people was at the thing they chose to do in life. Like, they're all mind-numbingly great at their given craft, and you saw two of them so uncomfortable in a spotlight they're normally seeing because they were put on a playing field. And man, for a nation of people who have a lot of golfers in it and a lot of them who suck something awful like myself, it was amazing to watch Tom Brady barf all over that course, split his pants, and do a bunch of stuff that you and I could do on the course.
Exactly. I mean, he had the hole out for a birdie on the seventh hole on the front. He didn't record a par. Now look, Medalist is a really, really hard course. I want to be clear about that. But I mean, you know, Peyton was freaking making birdies on par threes, and he didn't make a par on the front side.
It was amazing to watch that happen. It was amazing to watch Tom Brady, of all people. I have never felt better and on more equal footing with one of the greatest athletes of all time. It is me and LeBron James's hairline and me and Tom Brady's defiance of pants. And that is the closest I will get to being the GOAT.
I was about to say, as soon as that pant split and you brought up this tweet, I'm like, this could not be more your sporting event. It's people very uncomfortable in different ways doing kind of stuff, and somebody's pants just split right down their butt crack.
It was breathtaking, and it was all of us living through it together. It was so much fun because it was all of the things that we loved about getting to watch live sports as a community, but it was a new twist on a sport, right? Like, Trey, even for you, this is probably one of the most interesting golf, you know, it wasn't a tournament, I understand, but when you look at what happened in that match between having the guys all mic'd up and getting to hear the barbs, like, this was the trash talk we wanted the first time around that we weren't going to get. Like, Tiger was largely mute this entire time except for a couple of good one-liners because he clearly hates Phil's guts.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, did that shine through more so when you and I were talking about it before the show when Phil asked if he'd mark the ball, and Tiger goes, Phil, if you hit my ball, I'll give you the hole.
Yeah,
shut up.
60 yards out, he asked Tiger to put a mark on his ball on the green, and Tiger like, if you hit it, I'll give you the hole. Just get over this thing. The other thing we learned is that Justin Thomas, by the way, as an on-course reporter.
Star.
I mean, look, he has a very long pro career ahead of him, let us be clear. But dude, he's probably getting offers from TV networks right now for what he did. Hey, whenever you're done playing, we want you.
I think we all sort of drank in the moment where he realized there was no going back from what he had started doing when he called Charles Barkley fat on air and said, Charles, I would love to see your fat bleep still go out here and dunk today. And that was when he realized, because you realized it spilled out too fast for him to take back. And once he did it, there was no going back, and we were all better for it.
I mean, the one line I loved when Phil was going through that 30-minute diatribe about where the chip was, and see where it's light here, that it's... See, when it's darker, that means it's slower. An uphill is slower than downhill, which is faster. And Justin's like, let me put this, whenever you're playing with Phil, you're going to get a lot of information, which is basically him saying, he talks way too much.
He just talks way too much. But it was great. You know what? It was the perfect, because it was great for all of us. Like, we got Tony Romo on the golf course in that moment. For the rest of us amateur hacks at home, watching him do that, call it out, and then execute it to perfection was like watching Tony Romo predict the touchdown pass.
Right.
And if you're someone inside the sport like Justin, it is probably nauseating to a degree, and we got that barb at the end of it. Like, it just all fit together so well in a day where I wasn't even sure they were going to get out on the course.
Yeah, I totally agree. The weather that came through was pretty bad, and the greens were flooded. They found a way to get it done. So that leads us to the next time, right? That was the second incarnation. Clearly, we need to have a third. A, because it's still clear, even though they're friendly now, Phil and Tiger, there's still that level of, you're not in my league, right, from Tiger. I mean, that was evident out there. They're friends now. They're not mortal enemies, but there's still an edge between them. So we want to know, for the match part three, which has to include Phil and Tiger, that has to be part of this, who should be the other two participants? So we want to get your phone calls on that, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. The match three, Phil and Tiger and blank, who should it be?
And this can be celebrities, too. It doesn't just have to be athletes in this one. Although I think for me, and I know one name I'd have in mind, I feel like having basketball players in this. We saw the value with Chuck. Those are guys. And Peyton Manning, who I had no idea, OG trash talker extraordinaire. Oh my God, he was so that good. Guy was gifted. We know basketball and trash talk are things that just go hand in hand. I feel like you got to get Steph Curry and someone else in there. Michael Jordan's the dream. Yeah. Michael Jordan is a name I heard floated by a lot of people because you know he'd eventually get ticked off enough to say something wild out there.
Correct.
But Steph Curry, still one of the big faces of the league. We see him on Holy Moly. I feel like that's a natural next step.
Steph Curry, Justin Timberlake, they played together a couple of years at the Tahoe event. That's on NBC. That would be fun. They're both really – I think Jordan would take it too seriously. Like, you know he would take it too seriously. And that might be fun for a while, but at some point, I think he's just going to shut up and just go.
It might give us what we got with Tom, though. If all of a sudden he's terrible, what better thing, especially coming off The Last Dance, than to potentially humble the greatest of all time on the golf course?
So we'll take your phone calls later on this hour, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Give us the two participants you want in the match part three with Phil and Tiger. We'll get to those calls a little bit later, but coming up next, the varied landscape of college football. How will it shape itself out? What are the realistic expectations? We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
I think it is the single biggest challenge that college football has ever faced.
Nobody has a concrete answer right now for what happens if somebody tests positive.
Make no mistake, this is going to be extremely hard, extremely hard, extremely hard.
All right, Golic and Wingo with you on a Tuesday morning. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Trying to figure out the never-ending and never-changing line of demarcation in college football. Feels like we're on our way towards something in the NBA. Whatever that thing is, it'll involve a 16-team playoff in some way, shape, or form. But it feels like we're on that path, right? We're headed in that direction.
It does. It feels like we're going down the road. But with every major sports league in America, the professional ones, you've got two entities that you're dealing with, right? The owners and the players,
right?
And getting those sides to agree in a way that they're used to, negotiating, bargaining, all the things that come with it, albeit with a different goal this time around. With college, it is a lot more difficult. You are dealing with five power conferences in that. You're dealing with, in that body of those schools, different commissioners, different athletic directors, and the university presidents that we know are ultimately going to decide a lot of this fate.
And the parents, which I think is going to be the wild card in all of this going forward. So for more on the lack of clarification, for lack of a better term, and what's going to happen in college football, delighted to be joined by Mark Packer of Packer and Durham. It does a great job for us covering the ACC as well as everything in college sports. Mark, thanks for being with us this morning. I hope you and yours are safe. We actually had the news last week that a lot of schools, including the ACC, basically, hey, you guys figure it out on your own. The SEC said, we're going to try and start if we can do things in our own guidelines. And then you have Michigan saying from their president, yeah, cool, but if the schools aren't open with people on campus, there's no way I can see college football. It really is going to be sort of all over the place when we try and figure out the lines going forward in the biggest sport in college in terms of money making and eyeballs.
100% correct. I thought last week was probably the best news all of us have had that love college football, in the sense that the NCAA gave everybody the green light on June 1st. And, you know, no surprise, the SEC's moving 100 miles an hour. And June 8th, they have the return of the voluntary athletic activities. The Big 12 has said June 15th is what they've circled. The ACC's are basically saying, hey, listen, schools, you let us know what's going on. Louisville's already announced that June 8th is good to go. But then you mentioned the president from the University of Michigan, who, by the way, was an immunologist, said basically, you know what, if we don't have any on-campus instruction, we're not going to have any intercollegiate athletics. And, you know, what works in California might not work in New York, which doesn't work in Florida. Last week was a good sign. It was a starting point for all of us to get excited that college football is going to take place in some shape, way, or form. But as you mentioned, the complexity of this issue is just begun. And I do think that, you know, when any time I hear a Power Five commissioner make a statement or Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame, I think it's worth paying attention to. So that's kind of the rule of thumb that I've got moving forward. But do we know when it's going to start? We do not. Do we know how long the season's going to be? We do not. Do we know that everybody in every league is going to play? Probably not. So, again, unlike the NFL, this is a much more complex situation when it comes to football and when we're going to actually play.
Mark, I'm curious. You're in ACC country, obviously super dialed in on everything around there. We heard, as you mentioned, the news about Louisville in particular, but what's the rest of the temperature around the conference sounded like since the NCAA made that announcement?
Well, it's good news, but, you know, the one thing we need to keep in mind when it comes to the Atlantic Coast Conference, and I'll throw Notre Dame in this conversation because they're going to play a handful of games against ACC teams. The ACC has schools in 10 different states. And whether we're talking college football or politics or whatever you want, let's be honest, every state right now is really at a different place. You know, again, what makes sense in New York doesn't necessarily make sense in Florida. So while we're sitting here at the end of May, I do think we're still in the sweet spot of 5 to 6 weeks in which a lot of stuff is going to happen. This is such a fluid situation that you just need to grab your popcorn, stay safe, stay smart. Schools are going to start to open up for the most part. The vast majority will. But if you think this is a one-size-fits-all deal, you would be wrong. So, again, we don't know when we're going to play. We don't know how long we're going to play. But I would be stunned if we don't play. There's just too much money at stake. There's a great story on ESPN.com last week that said if the Power Five do not play football, you're looking at a multi-billion-dollar loss. So, we're going to play football in some shape, way, or form. I just don't know when we're going to start.
Yeah, Mark Packer with us from Packer and Durham. I think that part is clear. The thing that I thought was really interesting, Mark, over the last week was several schools floating ideas about not only how they're going to play, but how they're going to actually put people in the stadium. You heard Jack Swarbrick talk about that. You heard the college, the Notre Dame president talk about that. I think it was on MSNBC over the weekend. Mm-hmm. We've heard Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State, basically saying they have plans for 15, 20, potentially up to 50,000 people in the shoe finding a way into the stadium. So it's not only the idea that they're going to play, but they're going to try and do whatever they think they can based on the knowledge that they have now to try and put butts in the seats because we, as we all know, in college football specifically, that is a big part of the revenue equation.
Right. The gate is certainly critical here. If we're going to talk about the NFL, I think they could probably play games without fans there and still, you know, be able to take care of business. Totally different in college athletics. And when Gene Smith made the comment that, hey, we've got options of anywhere from 20 to 50,000, I think that's basically the deal, Trey. Right now, I think everybody's got multiple options in front of them that, hey, listen, if we can get to the point that we're going to kick off and play football, whether that be late August, September, October, if we delay it, if it goes into spring, whatever the combination might be, I think you're looking at multiple options across the board. Now, you know, this whole thing regarding Michigan, I will tell you that the optics of a college campus not being open in terms of in-person, professors and students, and we're going to play football. That optic does not look right to me. I mean, just listen, I hope we have college football. There's no doubt. I think we will. But if we're in a position, if there's a second wave, or again, there's so many what ifs here, but if we're in a position where we don't have college students on campus, I'm hard pressed to believe that we can have college football or any other fall sport. So again, there is still so many unknowns here. But we got to move forward. And again, I go back to something positive. I thought last week's decision by the NCAA to give everybody the green light June 1st was a good sign. And again, I think if you're a college football fan, pay attention to what the commissioners of the Power Five and Jack Swarbrick say moving forward, because I think that will give you a real good test of really where they are as one, because they're all talking multiple times every single day just to get the lay of the land. But to say that there's nothing left on the table, you'd be crazy. I think there's all kinds of options on the table right now regarding college football.
talking to Mark Packer, co-host of Packer'em Durham, with us on Golic and Wingo. Mark, you mentioned the conference commissioners that are in constant communication. We know there's the College Football Oversight Committee that involves some of the NBA, NCAA membership as well. I'm curious, though, it's largely been from the NCAA on down through the conferences, do what you will, mandated to the schools. Do you think the conference commissioners should be doing more in a way of providing concrete guidance for the schools and their member institutions going forward?
I think they are, to be honest with you. I think basically the NCAA did a smart thing by saying, hey, listen, we think this is needs to take place. You guys know your business better than we do, so move forward. Now, I know for a fact that John Swoff at the ACC is in constant communication with every school president to understand where they are as far as their state goes, as far as their campus goes. So I think that's taking place. And unlike what you see from a political standpoint where every single day there's a press conference and an update, I think all those conversations are taking place behind the scenes. And at some point in time, again, I think we're in the sweet spot of the next 5 to 6 weeks, there's going to have to be some kind of decision made for the Power Five and Notre Dame, for example, that if we get to the end of June, early July, hey, you know what? These coaches are going to need at least 6 weeks to get their teams in position. We've already seen the media days, for the most part, be canceled or postponed in some shape, way, or form, probably with the exception of the ACC and the SEC. So, again, I think the next 5 to 6 weeks will be the key with all of this. But the communication between these Power Five commissioners and their presidents and their ADs, that is a constant, always taking place scenario. And the fact that we're not getting a daily press conference is probably a good thing.
Mark, I'm curious. You mentioned the next 5 to 6 weeks are going to be pivotal for this. You can write the headline. The best thing to come out of the next 5 to 6 weeks for college football would be what?
We're kicking off in September. That's the best story. Now, again, whether we have a shortened season, whether we have a regular season, I don't know. But the best headline is, let's go play football. And I think my gut tells me, given the incredibly smart people around the world, which I do not fall into that category, everybody's looking for one reason to figure out a way to stop this virus through a vaccine or some shape, way, or form. I'm hard-pressed to believe the medical profession is not going to give us even some more feel-good positivity coming up here in the next couple months. I think we're going to play football. How long that will be, I have no earthly idea.
Yeah, I think at this point, you're right. We'll take whatever we can get as long as we can get. And I think that's the best way to look at this.
You're with a couple of guys that aren't very smart here either, too.
Yeah,
so you're in good company.
We're all in the same boat, Mark.
Well, put things in perspective. You're asking me about a virus. This morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, my fire alarm beeper went off, and we've got these 13-foot ceilings. And so at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm on a ladder trying to figure out how to turn this thing off. And it's hardwired, so I still can't figure it out. So to ask me to figure out what we're going to do with college football and COVID-19, this coming from a guy that was on a ladder at 4 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out how to turn off the fire alarm puts things totally in perspective.
Hey, solid flex, though, on the 13-foot ceilings. I mean, way to bring that up.
Yes.
That is well done on your part. Hey, Mark, we appreciate your time this morning. Be well, be safe, okay?
All right, boys. Take care. Be good.
You know, it's funny. I had that same problem like 2 weeks ago. There was something beeping, and I could not, in the house, could not figure out.
There's no greater hell than hearing that far-off beep and having to walk through every room in the house. This was actually one of the better Baker Mayfield commercials from this last fall, where he's walking through the stadium, because we've all been that moron staring around absentmindedly trying to figure out where the hell it's coming from.
Which fire smoke detector is it coming from? Is it something wired into the security system in the house? That was a rough night. I'm not going to lie to you. That was a rough night. So, Mark, I get it. There's not a person alive that hasn't experienced that hell of beep, beep. And just when you think it's done, beep. It's the worst sound in the world.
I just set my smoke alarm off yesterday cooking, and I know now I'm going to speak into existence this hell when I go home. There's no doubt.
Honestly, if I contributed that to you, I feel really bad, because there is no more helpless, because it's just this tiny little sound, and yet it will keep you awake, and it will drive you crazy.
Hellish. Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. This is Shower Sessions. Half interview, half concert, all from the shower. Watch the new music videos and exclusive interviews now at youtube.com/progressive.
Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you as we continue to move forward. And the NFL is continuing to move forward. Mike, we've seen some facilities being opened up in certain places where some people can get in, some players can get in going forward.
Yeah, and it's become a very interesting time right now as we search for concrete answers, like we mentioned, across the world of sports. A lot harder to come by in college, but as every team attempts to navigate their way through this, we've got some like the Saints that drew the line in the sand a long time ago, and others like the Eagles that are back to work virtually and, you know, looking forward to hopefully returning their facility soon.
So lots to get into, and for more on that, we're delighted to be joined by Diana Rossini, our fine, intrepid NFL reporter and insider. Diana, good morning. Hope everything is well with you. So let's start with what won't be anymore, which is the NFL replay of pass interference. You know, I basically looked at this as soon as that November 17th game between the Ravens and the Texans, where DeAndre Hopkins was tackled by Marlon Humphrey in the end zone. It was the most obvious PI since the rule, or the tackle that got it going with the rule, the Nickell Robey-Coleman play in the NFC Championship game. They reviewed that one, and they said, nah, we didn't see anything there. I knew this thing was eventually going to go away. So not much of a surprise, right?
Yeah, I think you made the call pretty late in the season compared to, I think, a lot of people. I remember us all discussing this. I think we even talked about it here on the show about in preseason how confusing it looked and how sort of it became a bit of a debacle. And, you know, I think when the competition committee was discussing rule changes and some of the proposals that they were coming up with, I just think the fact that it wasn't even discussed within that committee, which, oh, by the way, Sean Payton's on it, right? We know he's the one who originated this. The fact that it didn't even come up, I think it was, as much as Troy Vincent saying that this was a failed attempt, and, you know, I think there's a lot of blame to go around, but I do give the league credit for trying, because I know, you know, just covering the Saints the year that they got bounced from the postseason, it seemed like there needed to be something done. This just wasn't the answer. So, you know, it's not surprising that this wasn't brought back to the table and that we'll no longer see it. It's just, what's going to be the next step to really alleviate these situations and these problems, because it's still going to be there.
Yeah, I'd be interested, Diana, do you think they'll be any more receptive towards the idea of the sky judge that's being floated now? Because it seems very similar, with maybe just the caveat that the, you know, reported sky judge would be a part of the officiating crew, as opposed to this being a direct challenge from a coach or someone a part of the team.
I feel like from just a superficial perspective of it, you hear sky judge and it just seems so much more official, right? Because we beat up on officials so much and refs. But I actually got a text this morning from somebody that this Thursday there's going to be the owners meeting virtually. They're going to discuss that proposal. And I was told that they're only going to use a sky judge, or at least test it out during the preseason this summer. And it's not actually going to be something implemented this season. So as much as I think a lot of people want to see that happen, it seems like it would work. It makes sense. It's smart. Every time we talk about how we can improve the rules, the sky judge just it works. But we'll be able to really see if it will work during the preseason. But the way it was explained to me is, even if it gets voted on, they're not going to implement this until the following season. But I'm certainly looking forward to the preseason to kind of see how this would work.
Listen, I've been on the sky judge. As soon as I heard the term sky judge a year ago, I was like, I just need this in my life. I mean, I need something lording over me looking at this the way this thing works. So I could not be more positive on the sky judge thing going forward. And speaking of positive, Diana, we do have some facilities opening up across the NFL landscape. Now look, coaches can't be in there because of a competitive advantage, and that's something the commissioner has said. But the idea that we're seeing these things, and, you know, Governor Cuomo in New York basically saying, you can open if you're within the guidelines. It does feel like there's positive momentum to something that the NFL has sort of been riding on this thing all along, that we're going to go on a schedule.
Yeah, it does. I feel like the snowball is starting to move down the hill a bit here. While there's still a lot of you know, cautions that people need to take, or precautions, you know, I know the Jaguars last night, their public relations department released the sort of steps that the Jags are taking today, and everything is still very buttoned up and strict. I still don't feel like we're through a big hurdle just yet, though, because when I hear that coaches and players still can't be in there, yeah, it's great that you have those players that need to be in the training room and rehab, but it's still, while it's better news that it's slowly opening, I'm not really going to celebrate this and feel like we're back until I see those players out on the field at their facility. And, you know, in New York, you hear Governor Cuomo say that yes, you know, you can go back based on regulation and how this is going to work. But as we know, the Jets and Giants, they work out in New Jersey. And while I live in the state of New Jersey and I've seen, we basically follow suit of everything New York does about a week after. As of right now, the Jets and Giants, I haven't seen any or heard of any change at their facility. So they're still under those same strict rules. So until I see players and coaches allowed back in the building, I don't think we can celebrate just yet.
Well, we'll continue to wait for good on that front and change on that front. Another area of change that was talked about a lot in the last couple of weeks, Diana, was the Rooney Rule in the NFL. And certainly some of the proposals that came out about incentivizing minority hirings were met with a lot of backlash. But Mike Tomlin lending his voice to this the other day when he was talking openly about the Rooney Rule and when he thought about this seemed like a pretty important step. What did you make from hearing from one of the most prominent head coaches in the league and also one of the most prominent minority head coaches in the league?
I think Coach Tomlin speaks for a lot of coaches. You know, just making phone calls last week during these meetings, or at least when they were going on the proposals during the virtual owners meeting, just to try to get a gauge from all different coordinators and GMs and head coaches on what they think needs to be done. Do they think the league is doing enough? I do get a sense that people in the league at least believe that the steps are being taken and that there's definitely being highlighted more than ever at this point. But the fact that they sort of tested, almost like, I feel like they just tested the entire league and their fans about the whole draft compensation and the, you know, the Jim Trotter report about how that would all go down. You know, and when I spoke to some people who were in the meeting, actually, they told me that while they tabled that idea, they were excited that people were coming to them with even better proposals, better ways to help with the Rooney Rule. So they'll meet Thursday. I'm interested to see if that'll come back up. But I do think we're going to see more change continue this summer, as it seems that this is a priority for the NFL at this point.
Well, listen, Troy Vincent came out and said, we screwed up the replay thing, we owned it, and the NFL has said, we are not doing a good enough job on this. So anything that sparks conversation and thoughts and ideas, I think is completely worth it, and we'll see what happens Thursday at that virtual meeting. Diana, always good to talk to you. And by the way, if anybody hasn't seen it, nobody has a better My Plans 2020 out there on Twitter than our own Diana Rossini.
Yeah, Diana.
Just leave it at that. You guys can go look it up, but you won that one, kid. Just wanted to let you know.
Aw, thanks. That's high praise coming from you. You're tough on Twitter, so thanks, guys.
Get out of here. We'll talk to you later, Diana. No, it was one of the better ones.
Yeah, exactly. It's a hell of a way to announce your presence like that on Twitter. So pretty cool for Diana. Certainly all really happy for her.
All right. As we said, coming up next, the Match 2 was a huge hit, but how can it get even better? Again, we want to hear from you. Phil and Tiger going around for a third time. Who do you want partnered with them? We'll get to your phone calls next. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. We want to know who you're putting in that match. We'll get to that after this.
After this,
which
word
is very
from California
important.
Almonds. Without real sports, we're beginning to treat everything else as a sport. At home, schooling your kids. Why not try straight up schooling your kids in backyard ball? Well, all you ballers and couch coaches need stamina, endurance, almonds. 6 grams of natural energy-giving protein so you can run a clean program. Almonds, they kind of look like footballs, don't they? Or golf ball markers. Tiny little squished baseball bats, maybe. I don't know. We miss you, sports. We love you, California Almonds. Own your whatever day, every day, with California Almonds. Some is good, more is better. The Match 3 preview next on Golic and Wingo.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Napa Know-How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
I wanted the truth. I don't know if I truly don't know if I can handle whatever that truth was, but I wanted it.
There are a few certainties in life, and one of them is whenever you say no disrespect, it's just followed by so much disrespect.
Exactly. There are a few certainties in life. One of them is if you missed our interview with Diana Rossini, you're going to want to go back and check out the entire interview on demand in the Golic and Wingo podcast, brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card, sends an alert to your phone, and helps you fix them. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
All right, Golic and Wingo here with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Look, we can all agree the Match 2 was a hit, set all kinds of cable records for the most watched golf telecast of all time. And one thing we haven't talked about enough in the match, the golf carts. How awesome were those golf carts? And by the way, those carts were hitting about 30 miles an hour. They were moving, man.
I just want to know what Peyton Manning was sipping on. I refuse to believe that Yeti cooler was not full of something good.
Well, hey,
he had loose swing juice, man. He was swinging like it. Peyton paid awesome. I thought he looked great for being one of the amateurs out there.
I totally agree. They were both a little shaky on the front nine, but Tiger, I mean, basically Peyton made sure they kept that one up going into 17. He almost holed that shot from 180 plus yards. So he actually was really good, contributed a lot of birdies. The whole thing worked. Everything about it worked. The format, the carts, the cart cams, the microphone, the smack talk, everything. So we wanted to know, by the way, those carts are going to be auctioned off with the money raised from each one going to COVID-19 relief. I don't have enough money, but I would like to buy those carts and have them. They would be phenomenal. So we want to know, because this has to happen again, right? This much we know about television executives. When something works, they will beat it into the ground until you say, stop doing this thing. So it is coming again. So for the Match 3, Phil and Tiger have to be a part of it because of the clear sort of agita between those two. It's like sandpaper sometimes. Even though they're good friends, they got to be a part of it. Who else would you want in the foursome? Phil with who and Tiger with who? 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's get to some phone calls on that. Let's go to Bob in Texas. Bob, thanks for being with us. Hope you and yours are well. Who do you want to see in the foursome for the Match 3 with Phil and Tiger?
Oh, I think it'd be great if they had Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day.
Oh, well, you know what?
That's really good.
I'd even go back and put him with Urban Meyer.
Put Urban in there?
Like, just put the absolute most disdain you could, two of the biggest names in college football. And one of the remarkable parts of Brady was the restraint, that he didn't snap a club or throw anything into the woods like I would have. Jim Harbaugh's launching his bag.
Correct.
Jim Harbaugh's snapping. He'll play the rest of the round with just a 7-iron, but he is going to let that fury out.
I don't know what Harbaugh's golf game is, but Urban, when he was the head coach at Ohio State, had a house on the course at the Memorial. So, I mean, like...
So he'd beat him at that time?
I would say he might. I would just say he might, because he was in the right spot for that. So we appreciate that call, Bob. Thanks very much. I like that one. Let's go to Mike in Missouri. Mike, thanks for being with us this morning. Hope you and yours are well and safe. Who do you want in the next match, the foursome with Phil and Tiger? Who should it be?
Guys, I think the obvious one, especially after the last dance, has to be Barkley and Jordan.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. Now look, here's what you need to understand about Chuck. Having played golf with Charles, it's an experience. You can see his swing out there. He was a good player at one time, but he himself describes his swing as a speech impediment. Okay. It starts and then it stops and then it resumes, and rarely does the ball hit square on the club face. Jordan would be an assassin out there. But you're right. I don't know how much chatter there would be between those two, because Michael has basically excised Chuck out of his life.
That's the interesting part, though, is the last dance did give us windows into that. Like, you could have MJ and Isaiah Thomas out there. Clear disdain, two guys that are all-time greats, people that we want to see crumble, and we know for sure Jordan would have a cigar and a bunch of scotch in his Yeti tumblers.
Right.
So that we would have we would have clear answers.
But I think the part of the other two being in there, there has to be some sort of playfulness in them. Like, because you know Tiger and Phil are going to be the sandpaper, right? They're going to coexist, but not really. So I think the other two guys brought into this have to bring a little levity as well as that other part of
it. Well, I think that would be Charles's role in that, because Tom didn't even really contribute that much to that until, as you know, as Justin
Suck
Thomas,
on that, Charles.
As Justin Thomas put it, he said about 10 words in the round leading up to that point, and then after shot, that shot fit 130 seconds. So I think Charles might be able to counteract that until he ticked off Jordan enough for him to start clapping.
My only concern is the first hole on this match took 27 minutes. With Chuck, it might have taken 37. So it's pace of play for Charles.
Rate of play. Rate of play.
It's a thing. Let's go to Chad in New York. Chad, thanks for being with us. We appreciate you. Hope you and yours are well this morning. Tiger and Phil, who do you want in the foursome for the match three?
So I think we might as well go with the blockbuster hit now, and we'll go with Tiger and MJ versus Mickelson and Steph Curry. Why? Because Michael Jordan and Steph Curry are both scratch golfers.
Yeah, that's a really good one, and I think Steph would be wildly entertaining. I've talked about it before. You've seen him paired with Justin Timberlake and others at the Lake Tahoe event, which is out there on NBC every year. And Steph's a lot of fun. Steph is a really good golfer, but he would provide that sort of levity and an entertainment factor.
Yeah, well, and I think this one too, he's also a guy that's been a part of Holy Moly, which we've talked about. We had Rob Riggle on last week talking about that, and he said he's very involved in that. He's got the personality that fits this. Again, if we're looking for types, you need one personality that's going to give and another one that's going to get agitated enough to give you something eventually. That would be the dynamic, I think, there too.
All right, let's go to one more call. Let's go to Mark in Texas. Mark, thanks for being with us. By the way, in Texas is a really big place to be from. It's a big state. So who would you put in the foursome with Tiger and Phil?
I got two quick choices, but Tony Romo and Brett Favre. Ooh, and then good. Barack Obama and George Bush.
Ooh,
that'd be another
now
interesting
that,
one.
That's interesting because obviously different ends of the spectrum, but they get along a little bit, and there might be a little playfulness that goes along there.
If I want Favre with anyone, it's Rodgers.
I was about to say, it's got to be Favre and Rodgers.
It's got to go there.
I totally agree, because Aaron takes his golf game pretty seriously.
Or Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Let's just get out ahead of this one. The first time we see them together on the golf course.
Sign me up. Thank you for those phone calls. They were great. We appreciate that information. But coming up next, could the NBA's biggest roadblock to getting back on the court no longer exist? I'm intrigued. We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.